Okay, now it's going down, okay, and if I hit this to lock, then it's continuing to go down, so I should be getting some, recording. So let me take the lock off. Trial number two. I just hit recording mark, and it seems to be recording. So I'm going to stop it and try it. It says I have 159 minutes remaining. That would be right. All right, so let's see what happens when I hit recording pause. Okay, I hit the recover switch and it seems to be working. So I'm going to hit the square stop button now. I don't understand why it records now. I don't know what I'm on. Oh dear, but it seems to be recording. So if I hit pause, no, I'm just gonna stop it. Now I'm up to 15. I don't understand this. Time remaining. Okay, 158 minutes. It's recording. And it seems to be recording pretty fast. 158 minutes remaining. And it's all very clear. If I hook this to my shirt like so, although it seems to be picking up everything, better to just have it sitting off here on the side, I think. Okay. Now, try it again. Well, okay. This seems to be working. Now I'm now on number 16, and I'm recording, and I have 157 minutes left. Okay, so I'll stop it. All right, I am recording now, and I'm at number 18, and I've got the microphone without the the protector over it. I guess that's all it is, isn't it? Just I don't have the little fuzzy thing over it. Oops, and I touched the other one with my finger, so it probably made a horrible noise. I'll check it out. Now I'm trying out the recording, and I'm using the two microphones, the one without the head, and now I'm using the one with the head, and I'm not sure to see if they're both working.
Excuse me, Nick, I gotta figure something out here. Something is... Oh, it'll work. Okay, so now... All right. We're going. Okay, Nick, let me just start with some preliminary stuff. When were you born?
I was born at Makushin, 1925, I think that's what my birth record
said. Ah.
1925, June 4th.
Oh, that's right. You just had your birthday.
Yeah. And like I said, the village, the village didn't have anything there, but the only ones we used to play with was John Brennan. You know Nick Brennan, his brother. Mm. They were at John was adopted by Pete Olson, and there were only three of us in the way who used to play around right in the village there. We didn't have a place to go except just stay in the village and play around, or we don't go up on a hillside or nothing.
Oh, yeah?
Just riding everything. Hmm. We don't even go out there to look around what was going on. And if I'm not mistaken, he bought in. He came into the village 1926 or 27, hmm. Peter Wilson did, and his family. Well, he had his wife with him at all.
Uh-huh.
And he had up with John Brennan.
Hmm.
And there was another guy after us. There were so many John Brennans. They named them one after another. There was John Brennan that we married to Tina Pitikoff from St. Paul. She was up here. You had known her. I don't think you know her.
No, I don't think so. Uh-uh.
Anyway, she's one of the women that lost her husband there.
Uh-huh.
There were three lives were lost. And the only one that knows the story, I think they said the Peter Wilson had seen it all, but the people didn't see the rest of it.
Hmm.
There were only four people left there, I think. But Elijah was working on a gate there with his son, a fence.
Ah, uh-huh.
So the sheep won't run away,
they
watch them. And there's three guys were out without fishing, or they went out there to get them. And they went out there to fish in a trap, Harbor fishing, I guess.
Oh,
that's
what
they were doing.
Okay.
It was in the month of April. Well, compared to their story, I never did ask Nick Brennan. They took off on our Good Thursday, and they never did come back.
Hmm.
Comparing to Nick Brennan and Mikulakiana, they were shooting all day long, he says. But I don't know where he would be getting all that ammunition to shoot all day long. Only thing that I know they would have would be about 10 or 20 rounds for people.
Hmm.
And what they were shooting at, I don't know. And Peter Wilson's story was that they got into a wild animals, sea lions.
Or a walrus or something?
Yeah, walrus. And they said the boat was all chopped up and everything, and none of these guys never come out of it.
Mm.
That was the story I heard. I never did ask Nick Brennan, and he wouldn't talk about it either.
Yeah.
And Ilya was his godfather. They were right in the village, and the old lady, she died down southeast in Mary Brennan.
Now, this happened like in 1939 or so?
No, she died.
No, I mean the man that got lost?
39.
Uh-huh.
No, not the word. But 38, I think, is
when, okay.
when they died. They disappeared.
Disappeared, yeah.
And Elijah was here, 39.
Okay.
That's right after my dad bought that Harrier down there.
Mm.
He came down to see us. Well, they came back on the Penguin on the month of September, end of September. Then he told us he'd be coming to see us, he never did come to.
No, what was your dad's name?
Simeon.
Simeon, okay. And was he involved in the church in Makushan?
No, he was the reader in church there, while in at Inukushi, that's when he went to. He was born here and went to the Russian school down there.
Okay.
And his brother ended up seeing George, got himself a 19-year-old girl and got married.
Mm.
That's where the Lukanovs split up, St. George.
Oh, okay.
And my dad was, he had a kidney, same problem I had, I guess, a kidney problem. He never did, the doctor said I was lucky, I passed my stones. And he didn't, he was died about, when he was 68 or 69, if I remember.
Wow. Would you go over this photograph and tell me what the houses are on it? Oh yeah, I've got a drawing here. I can.
Okay, you can do a mark. I'll start from there. This one here, the white one, like it. It came from Galatiano and his brother John Brennan.
Right next to it? Okay.
Yeah.
That's one and two for John Brennan.
Yeah.
One for Kiefer Galaktianov.
And the next white one is Matvey Petikov.
That's number three, Matvey Petikov. Okay.
Petikov.
Petikov.
And the next, see, the white one, my godfather, Matvey Petikov again.
Ah, another Matvey Petikov. Okay.
Next him is Matvey Brennan.
Number five, Matvey Brennan.
The next one is brother Ilya Brennan.
Ilya Brennan, and that's number six.
And my dad's house up there.
It's not a
white house, but it looks white.
Oh, it looks white in the picture, but it's not. Okay.
Yeah.
That's number seven at the very end.
Yeah, that's number seven. Obviously.
And this was the church. And the name
the
name of the church?
Nova. It's the second day of Christmas.
Okay.
Or Christmas. I'm still going after the Wichcomb icon. I never got a icon for that. I don't know what he did to the icons from the chapel, but we don't have them. You even had one here except the big one.
Oh, yeah?
One hanging over the doorway. That's from Chinovsky, I think. And the one is out now. We should be in pretty soon, I'm pretty sure. That's what came from a cushion.
Now, what are these little buildings back in here?
That steam bath looked like a big house there.
Oh, okay. And that's number eight, steam bath, way in the back.
And the next dude right here, I think, is a Brennan Galaktianov warehouse.
Oh, okay. Galaktianov warehouse, number nine.
And Ilya Brennan. Oh, warehouse up there.
Okay, right below the church, Ilya Brennan, that's number 10, his warehouse.
And my daddy should be right in the corner there someplace.
Okay, right in the corner by the church, number 11 here. And then this is a store here, or what is that, that big
that's
building?
That's Peter Olsen's Hotel.
Peter Olsen's Hotel, okay, number 12.
Peter Olsen's House.
Huh.
And this is the barn.
Number 13 is the barn for the sheep. Or did he have anything else? No.
No. The store is right behind this house here, so
okay.
You can't see.
Oh, the store is behind the house. Mm-hmm. Okay. On the church side of the house.
Yeah, the true store there. I don't see those hot houses there.
Now, what's this little thing here? It looks like a birdhouse or something.
Oh, yeah, pigeons.
Oh, okay.
He used to have them. He must have put that end of his, store. They must have took it off of their deal there and put it on end of his store there.
Huh.
His house was right behind the there.
Okay. And it looks like this is a little boat. here, like a toy boat almost.
Yeah, yeah, the boat, a toy boat we adopted St. John. That's the one we used to play in.
Ah.
We never go out on the water with it, but it's just on dry land.
Huh.
Play that. What year is that?
It's either 1932 or 33. This photograph is from the Coast Guard historian's office.
Tom, what you told us about when the Coast Guard come in, what the people do?
The people that I told you that yesterday, they all hide away. They stay inside. Nobody goes out. Because they can't speak English. Only one that speak English was Pete Wilson's wife. And Mrs. Hopper was a housemaid or whatever you can call her. Brandon's sister, daughter, she learned to speak English. Good, I think.
Now, this must have been after they installed the electric lights, because this looks like electric poles.
Electric poles. And the pole was right across the creek. I mean, the powerhouse.
The powerhouse, yeah.
Yes.
So it was a water generator. And where did you get water from at Mukushin?
Oh, we used to pack our water from down below. There's a creek down here, and then right behind the church there, there's a creek there, all the way down there. They were used to pack the water from there or near there, down below here. And powerhouse water, really, the handmade, which come. Dam up on a hillside up there. That's where the water was coming.
Like a spring out of a spring. Yeah.
And behind that Peter Wilson house, this pipe here, I think that's the smokehouse pipe that went down the drain there.
Okay.
A chicken coop or something there.
Yeah.
No, it's no, almost no, like. No, that's a fishbowl. You can dig all the way down to China if you have to. You can dig all the way down without no problems, nothing but sand.
Really? Oh, that's nice.
Mud.
Wow. And it looks like they've done something to it, make a road almost along here, a walkway, you know.
They had a handmade, what's it called, road, about 10, 20 feet wide. Peter used to line us up and go out there and go and pick up the grass and all the way around the church house. And when we come back, we would quit. Then with that job, he used to give us at least a pound of candy.
Now, Nick, what did the men do at Mukushin in the summertime? Did they go up to the Pribilofs to work?
All the people go to the up to the Pribilofs, yes.
And what did the women do then? When did they just stay
just
in Mukushin?
Stay in there, really stay there and go fishing a gaff. You gaff a fish out of the creek there, and that was a dry fish. And Peter Orson had a saying to you that the British used to go out sailing right in the beach there. And get all the fish you want. And it's a lot of work to it. And dry them and clean them out and the glue flag and get into them.
And when they came back from the Pribilofs, then did
they go out, getting ready to go out hunting. Get the kayaks out. Or in the barn there, they had the way I looked, counting, I think they were five Bedarkies there one time. Brennan and his brother had a one welder for Bedarkie, two men of Bedarkie. And my godfather and his brother was a. He had one.
What was his name?
Matvey. Matvey Petrov, and his brother, Yekim. They call him Jack. And Peter Petrov and his son, Simeon Petrov. He was Padre's dad, and I already said that Matvey and another Matvey and his brother Ilya, that one, and my dad, and Kusha was the kayakers.
Would they take the skins off of them when they stored them in the barn, or?
They take the skins off from them?
Yeah, they do take them all off, and they hang them all up. I mean, put the badakas in the barn there. It was a good thing about him. He let him take care of the witchigo.
Mm-hmm.
And the skin, they put them away and we dry them up and they put them away in the storage there in the warehouse. Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, a long time ago, it used to be the women who would sew the skins on. Was that true when you were young,
yes,
too?
Yes, that's really good. They sew them together and they actually put them on the boat. I mean, on the Badarki, they would go out there and they sew them together.
Mm-hmm.
And they use lots of sheet oil.
Oh, yeah, to make them waterproof. And
yeah, that's waterproof.
Oh. Sure, yeah, please.
How did they tan the hides that they used?
How did they tan the sea lion hides?
Sea lion?
How did they prepare them? How did they tan them after they blubber them to dry?
They never do that back there.
They just used them the way they got them off of the animal?
Yeah, just took the fat off of their meat and they melted it down on top of the stove all you can and put them in a sea lion stomach or ear sea stomach and they keep them that way. Of course they get dranky if you give them too long. That's what they use on the witchigong. On a kayak.
Yeah.
They use a lot of that over to put the witchigong. They soak the skin for at least about 20 hours or 4 or 5 days before they put him back on the boat.
In salt water or fresh water?
Fresh water.
Fresh water, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they used to soak him right in the creek there, so it was fresh water.
Mm-hmm. Where did they go to get sea lions?
Sea lion, they... How far is the Biscayne Bay from Akushan?
Well,
did you tell me 9 hours? No, 9 miles.
Maybe 9 miles, yeah. I've got a map here.
Yeah. Which gum? Cheerful.
And then it's unfortunate. It's here, so. These are not very good. Because this goes over here, I think. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Like this.
Mukushin Village?
Yeah.
Yeah, here's Mukushin Village. Here's Volcano Bay over here.
Oh, it's quite worse, isn't it?
And the lakes. Where's the scale here? It's a... This is about a mile, so it's only about 3 miles.
Yeah, that's what I feel. But Kusti told us she was 9 miles. It can't be that long. Cheerful. Is Mukushin here?
Volcano Bay.
Volcano Bay and Mukushin over here. And the volcanoes up here.
That's about... This is only two places they will go out there. Sea lion hunting right there.
Right out on the point, near the point.
Yeah. They had a, what's it called, cave there.
Ah.
I never was in that cave. So what's it called? And Mukushin, right in the Volcano Bay, they had on top of the sea side, I guess. They had the sea lions in here.
Ah, right at the corner there, Volcano Bay. When you went from Mukushin to Volcano Bay, I think you were saying at the senior lunch that you could hike on either side of the lake, or?
Yeah, you can go either side. they told me that it was shorter on this way.
On the outer side, it's shorter. Yeah, yeah, it looks shorter.
And it's longer on this side.
Uh-huh, up against the mountain.
Yeah. That's about now. Well, that's a place where they get their wood from all the time, too, and they're out in witchcraft.
Over in Volcano Bay?
No.
No.
Yeah, it's on the other side of the creek there.
Hmm.
It's a lot of wood there, uh-huh. And cheerful.
How would they bring it back?
Boat. So we use the dory.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And come around the outside, or would you go through?
Outside.
Around the outside. It's pretty rocky along here, isn't it?
What's going on all the way over there?
Yeah.
Did they hunt the sea otters with, or the sea lions with spears then, or guns?
By a gun. Mm-hmm. The spear, whatever you call it, they quit that after that. Russia took over. Mm.
This is a little bit more of the McCushion Bay, Bruce Anderson Bay. Oh, thanks.
The island in there, they probably call it Peterson Island. That's the island he was on.
You mean he lived there? No.
Peterson got to that island. Did I say it was born 1925?
Mm-hmm.
Got there about 26 or 27.
Ah.
During the winter, much like captains, way up there, the ice up in there. The whole bay.
Hmm.
So the fox took off the island and got onto the media. Oh. And that was the end of it.
He stalked blue fox on it? Yeah. Yeah.
Where was your camp? Go ahead.
Go ahead, Pat.
I was going to say, where was your camp? You had a camp here?
He had a house there. That's where he built first time he moved into McCushion.
Ah.
And after he lost everything off and he went back to the village there and tore his cabin down and took him back into the village there, and I guess the people there was happy to see him or something, so they helped him along, got all the switches gone.
Now, it didn't freeze over like that very often, right?
No,
yeah.
Not very often.
Yeah. Did you have a camp anywhere?
The only thing I can think of is way inside of that, there was a creek coming down. Along in there, I think they had a cabin there. I don't know what they would.
Your family?
Your
camp, did you have a camp?
No, my dad had one inside of Anderson Bay. Which is your cool?
No.
Naganak Cove.
Well, my dad had a camp inside of there. What's it called? The Anderson Bay. No,
yeah.
Candle Bay.
Cannery Bay's right here. Yeah.
Candle Bay. Is it Candle Bay? You must be
there's
a tag here. You had a, what's it called? Where's the porch?
Portage is right here.
Portage Bay is right
here, yeah. Yeah, this must be inside. This is Candle Bay and this is the
Portage
Bay.
Portage Bay, all the way in there. Way inside of fishing and moss and things where my dad had a camp.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
In Portage or Cannery? In Cannery?
No.
In
Portage Bay. In Portage Bay, or you can call it Portage Bay on it.
Portage Bay. They're saying that this is Portage Bay and then Cannery Bay and Anderson down here.
Yeah. Well, in a way, he's got a camp inside of here.
Okay,
Out of a mud house.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I mean,
and he would use it just in the summertime?
through the winter.
Oh, for trapping.
For trapping.
Oh.
He had a stove in there. Sleep on the grass in there.
Oh, yeah?
On the floor, on the deck.
Uh-huh.
Did you go in there?
Yeah, I was in there sleeping in the cabin. My dad took me out, was surprised he took me out there. And what can be, we used to go there and camp there every now and then. Philip, Uncle Philip and Brother Tim, Jonathan, and camped there. They were still there until everybody moved out of there, I guess they caved, you know, the army. Caved them in.
Now, why did your dad move into Unalaska?
They would mail boat every month from here all the way down to Mikulski and come back and go back to Sherwood. I think that's where their main station was.
Mm-hmm.
And Attica, Mikulski, all those places, I guess, that they were taken care of by the Bureau of Indian Affairs.
Right, yeah, they would be serviced, yeah.
Yeah, they took the rub off there for them.
Yeah. So, Nick, when did your family move into Unalaska?
When I'm mistaken, 1937.
Okay, why did they come here?
Came in on a mail boat.
Did your dad come here to work, or?
No, they moved here because Peter was just kicking him out. That's where Nick Gillespie, what you call story was. He kicked him out because I don't know why, but my dad went to work and he gave a generator to sold the generator to Johnny Eschmanow. That's what he was mad about, I guess. So he told to come back and get these groceries from Johnny Eschmanow, and I guess my dad had not got to tell him. I said, okay, I will. Well, good thing he probably would be still there if Moses Glennon wasn't there. He was there with us. He used him as a interpreter when the mail boat got in there, so the whole family moved in here. That's how they came in. And
so Pete Olson was sort of a dictator in that town, in that village.
Yes. He was running everybody, because, well, he had a good best of the people there. Of course, people can't talk for themselves, or they can fight for themselves.
Yeah, right. Do you mean how many children in Nick's family?
No,
or?
How many lived in Makushan Village around the time when his family moved away?
There were, from my mistake, I think there were eight of us. That's from mom's side. There were here, Vasa, Marla, Steppy, Brother Steve, Tim. Florence was born here, so don't.
And when you came here, where did you live? That's a lot of people.
We stayed down in the uncle's Galactiana's house there for a while.
Okay.
Then I spotted that house by the creek there.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him about it, and he decided he's going to buy it. So he got it from this guy named Gardner.
Oh, yes, I heard of him, yeah.
I got it from him, and he didn't pay it all up, so they told him to move out of there. So he's not no place to go, so he decided to raise him another $400. So Gardner said it was okay then, so they kept him there.
Mm.
So we moved in there. 1938, I think, we moved in that cabin by the whole second bridge, or old bridge, or whatever, where Nick is staying now.
Yeah. Were you here when Bishop Alexei was here?
Were you here when Bishop Alexei was here?
Yes, I was his altar boy.
Oh, you were? Ah. Now, what was he like? Because when he was a young priest, he was here in 1910 in Unalaska, but then he would have been an older man.
He was all gray, but I don't think he was that old.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's the first time I ever learned to be an altar boy. That's for him, and Father Fedosia was another one.
Mm-hmm.
He was here when we got here, 1937. Then from here, he shipped him to St. George, and Alexei came up, and he stayed here another year. Then he went back out,
right,
and
yeah.
That's the last time I seen him.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
He wasn't a big guy, he was a little guy.
Yeah, there's a wonderful picture of him in a bodarka and some men on the beach with a campfire over in Akitan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 1910 or so when he was visiting there. Yeah.
It was a three-man kayak then, probably?
I can't remember, but it was it's a good picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. So, Nick, that's how you started in the church then?
Yeah, I started about 50 years ago.
Yeah.
No, about 54 years ago.
Mm.
I started helping my uncle along in there. And he was a helper here. And,
what was his name?
Andrew Galikiano.
Ah. Oh,
that's the one who was married to Silver's mom.
Okay.
I think that was your second husband, the third husband. And I think he passed away by 49, somewhere like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, after the war, after people were evacuated and after they came back, was there any thought of going back to Makushan?
No. No, I don't think so. They probably could have. I'm sorry that I never did go back. Because the house was already...
Right, already here and... Yeah. Oh, already wrecked
yeah,
in Makushan.
And the rest of the house was already except the rotten... Where the bad spots was the Brennan, John Brennan, and Matt Fay, my godfather's, and my dad's house.
Mm.
The roofs was all blown off of them. Otherwise, everything was still there.
Mm.
No stove on it. Any one of them, every one of them, I guess, they used the... Everybody moved out of there, took the stove out of their house and used it for the stove.
Mm.
That was that... really good stove in there in this house, and we're still there when we moved in there. And we stayed there during the winter 46, I think, when we were camping there. And,
oh, yeah.
45.
Hmm.
After.
Right after returning,
season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we left everything in there. Hart Harris, he claims he bought the sheep and the house. So we didn't bother in the house, but we stayed in Galikiano house there.
Uh-huh.
Nick Brennan, dad's house there.
Hmm. And you were over there, like, to trap fox, or...?
Yeah, we stayed there trapping, and after the trapping, we came back and hung on the boat.
Hmm. Who went over with you?
I went over there with Arthur and Uncle Philip. You probably know her. That was one of the best.
Yeah. Ah.
Arthur LeCamif, his half-brother.
Oh, okay.
And Philip. What was Philip's last name?
Philip Galikiano.
Yeah.
You know him. Mm-hmm. I think you know him.
Yeah.
Now, I want to...
Bull-headed guy.
I want to... Oh, yeah?
He was a comical guy. He had everything for... Every little word you say... You have something that make everybody laugh.
I want to ask you about Kashiga, because I've had a couple of different stories and I'm not clear. I thought that George Brennan and Cornelius Kudrin moved back to Kashiga. But Eva said they didn't really move back. They just went to visit, back and forth to visit, sort of, to Kashiga. What's your understanding?
I think they moved here because they were, well, they tried to bring the village back up on the feet, but there were only two of them left there, so she decided to come back.
Yeah.
And make it home here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what they were.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were taken to Akitan from World War II. Kashiga, Borka, and Makushin left over people.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, Buran was the only, and his family was the only one from Makushin and Borka. Moved in there too, but they said they couldn't get along with the Akitan people, so they have to come over.
Oh.
They decided to make their living here or need to go back to Borka.
Yeah, yeah.
And they stayed there until, I don't know how it happened, but they lost their chapel. And one of the houses blew it off. I don't think we're any bigger than English ones. How the little house over here.
Messerschmitt's.
Oh, yeah. A small one. Yeah.
Your house.
My old house. Yeah.
He said he blew that house. He never did find it.
Huh. Wow.
Galatia and Peter. Lucan said he had everything in that house. He was married to Molly.
Oh, right. Okay.
And, yeah, he bought everything for her and everything. I think the whole company blew it off. And George Yesmanov's house was blew it off and was sitting right on top of the bank going down a big bayside. And the church, they moved them, blew them from the one side all the way down to the bank, the main beach bank.
Must have been a really huge wind.
That's how they left their home.
Yeah.
They decided to come here and make their own. So they came over and see Nick Zajnikov was acting as a chief here. So they went to see him. Then they went to work in Wichita. 46, that's when that he got the house for Yesmanov. Oh, no, that was in 46. That's good. Where is Mary's house? Stay out now. Robertson used to be. That's where the Yesmanov, I mean, was put there for a gardener from a woman from Attica. And where your auntie, she, Sophie, she happened to come here, so she decided to make a home here, so they got her house. That's where in front of a Julius house.
Okay,
And the next one where the Molly is staying now, that her name?
Yeah.
That was a cabana there. That's where Molly stayed.
In Newtown. Newtown.
And Kusta right next door to him, and my father-in-law to be right next door to him. There were seven houses there, I think it was about seven. Durikovs, which is not there now, but empty spot. And I...
Then Uncle Arthur had a house there?
No.
Or his
that's
his wife?
Right down there. They showed it to
his other wife? Or?
That was his wife. It was his Joe. That was happened to be a Joe's house, not his wife.
Oh.
That, I know that area in Newtown that was there was a Peter Samet.
Samosky?
Samosky?
Yeah.
Was he a
Samarkandski?
Yeah. Where was he from? Okushan?
Someone said he was from Borka.
From Borka, okay. Yeah.
He's from Borka.
Yeah. I want to ask you another question about Mokushan, if I may. Who were who was the midwife in Mokushan?
Well, Eva Brennan, Nicole Tiano's grandmother.
Ah.
And the other one is Mary Brennan.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Eva. Brennan's wife.
Okay.
That were the only two that I knew they were.
Mm-hmm.
Housewife.
Was there anyone in particular who was good with Aleut medicines?
Yeah, I don't know if they had medicine for it or not. No. They had their own medicine, or they didn't have the medicine.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
They didn't use the plants or anything for medicine?
No. There were their roots. They used some kind of a root for what you call it. The bushes used for steam bath.
Oh, yeah.
Chicks, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what they used for medicine.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of them, and a puchki root.
The strong puchki.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another, what you call them, used for medic. If you had a pain or anything, you can't stand more, they would heat that.
Mm.
What you call them, root up. And they rub it on your back there, and they cover it back up, and see they draw the pain out.
Ah, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you, Nick.
You're welcome.
This is good.
I hope you, what you call me, still going.
It is, actually, yes. We still have 34 minutes, but this goes on. Did you have any other questions, or any?
Or did they have a chief then?
Oh, yeah. Who was there a chief in Mokushan?
They were until 46 or 47, I think. Bill Ermolov, I heard he's coming here to make his living here now.
Oh, cool.
Hmm.
He was there at Mokushan with this, he called him his dad, stepfather. He's the one that brought him up from a teenage.
Hmm.
Ermolov.
Uh-huh.
They were there in 1946, I think it was. It must have been about 46 or 47. I was working over the Chopper side, and they were taking that, stripping the Chopper down.
Mm. Now there was a, I saw in one of the records that there was an Ilya Shepsnikov, who, he was from Unalaska, but he served as a chief at Mokushan for 10 years, but it might have been. It was probably before you were born. I don't know.
Yeah, probably. Well, I remember they bought the sheep. Don. He must got some of the sheep from the Gritchkom.
Uh huh.
Oh, Pete Larson did from Chernovsky.
From Chernovsky, they would bring him up. Yeah, yeah. The sheep started in the early 20s, I think. Out of Portland, I think, in part, anyway. Oh, you know, I can't remember the name of the company, but it's fairly well documented.
Mm.
Yeah, they tried a couple of different times. There was a doctor involved who was part of the business, and then they ventured off to Nikolsky a bit, you know, in that area.
Okay.
Nick, who were the leaders? Was there a particular leader, you know, other than Pete Olson, you know, was there an Aleut leader?
Ilya was Brennan.
Ilya Brennan.
And there was a guy before him who was... No, wait a minute. You were spoken of as...
Ilya Shapsnikov.
He was the leader.
Okay.
Before Ilya.
Oh.
That's what I heard.
Uh-huh.
Right. I guess he made a smart move. He said, come here, make his living here, sir. Come here and... Because living in, let these kids go to school.
Ah.
That's what it meant. They built school in every village they can get to, but the only one that they left out was Borka and Mokushan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the way I heard, Pete Olson was the one behind it, that he's going to teach the kids himself. So the school teacher decided not to bother him anymore.
Yeah, because I know they had one in Kishiga. They had a school in Kishiga.
Kishiga.
Yeah.
School closed 1936 or 35, somewhere in there.
How many kids were in Makushin?
They were about 12 kids there then.
And how many in Kishiga?
Kishiga ran out of her kids over the course of
That's what Eva said. She was the only kid there.
All the Kudrins, and it was the only one they were keeping the school there for a while until they all grew up.
Mm.
So where'd you go to school?
Here.
Mm.
I was scared. First time I came to school, I didn't know what to do. I couldn't speak English. I couldn't, what's it called? The only thing I used to say is,
Was there a flu epidemic in Makushin?
No, well, I guess they did. It was just that flu.
Yeah.
1919.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's when that's you're... Before I was born.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know.
His father's first wife and 10 of their 14 children were killed by that.
Really?
I think.
Yeah?
I think that's what he told me one time.
Wow. So, did that flu hit Makushin?
Yeah, they had a flu there. That's what they said. They practically killed all the Wichita people there, except the Likanovs, and wiped the Chernovsky out completely. Left over, came here to make a living.
Yeah,
for another Brennan. That's he came to Brennan. Said Brennan, you don't know him probably, but the, his uncle, I think. So it could be his uncle. In the Kinky Brennan. I mean, he was from Chernovsky. Or John Gudev. He was from Chernovsky.
Okay.
Did your father's first wife die from that flu?
Whose wife?
Your father's first wife?
Yes. He was married twice. He had 12 kids from his first wife. 10 from his last one.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, thank you.
He's regular.
Yeah, regular.
I try to give him decaf.
Oh, okay.
How do you become the chief?
A chief?
How do they decide who will be the chief?
That's up to the community to do that, and the whole people get together, they have a meeting, they kind of decide who they want to use as a leader. Then they vote him in.
When you came here to Unalaska, Alexei Yachmanov was still alive, I guess,
yes,
huh?
Yes, I was. He died about 6 months after he got here, I guess. Mm-hmm. 37, I think. He's showing a mark on the stone up there. November. And his son died out. Died at the camp out there. He was a I guess he knew what was coming to him, so he decided he'd beg his brothers to go out camping with him, so he took him out overnight and came back next day. He was gone, he was dead. He died out there at his camp in December.
Now, after World War II, Bill Zaharoff, he was the chief here, and then Doc?
Oh, at question?
No, no, here in Unalaska, after the war.
No, there were no sheep, sir?
No. No, not a chief.
Who was chief here then? Oh, what the heck was it?
Bill Zaharoff?
Yes, he was acting as a chief here. Yes.
But then he left, huh?
No, he stayed there until he passed away.
Oh, okay. Well,
what's it going with the acting as a chief? Oh, man, Doc was, no, he was a second chief during LXA time.
Oh.
So he decided to make a chief out of a old man Shakira, so he did.
Hmm. But that would have been tough because things had changed.
Yeah. And, Oh, my Aunt Scrabble, and after old man Scrabble passed away, I think they put out, Nick Scheisnicker was the chief there for a while, about 2 years, I guess, and he decided to give it up.
Here in Unalaska?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Then Bill Gall was second assistant, so they made a chief out of him, and he decided he'd give it up. So they put me in there.
Ah.
I was a chief about a couple of years or so, then I decided I'd give it up. Somebody else took it over.
Is it a tough job?
Yes. You couldn't make the guys to work for you if you wanted to or not.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were a chief one.
That's where I got my wits going for.
And then Bill Diakonoff became, Doc became the chief finally, huh?
Yeah, he was a community chief. It's a good, there's a lot of people out of him. Every now and then,
it's
easy. I'm one man, a good day. I learned to stay with those two guys. 1946, I went out trapping with them.
Oh.
In a car line, about 40 miles. It's about 40 miles from Nikolsky. Facing north. Nikolsky was on the north side. You're used to your Nikolsky Island, nice weather. It's right across the Tuganati.
Was Carlisle a pretty good island to trap on?
If you had a yes.
Yeah.
It was up on top. I don't have lots of to it. I used to go out there shooting ducks every day. Seals, you don't catch them, but hook them right away. They're tied to the way.
Uh-huh.
We had a boat, but it was too big for us to handle it.
Mm. Did you get many fox?
Oh, I think I got 20, and the old man could have had 30, and old man Diakonoff got skunked in the
They had skunks here?
No, you didn't think, poor guy. After that, Second World War II, everything dropped down, all the skins and hide and everything on the car. So they quit trapping.
Yeah. So Nick, when did you go out to Carlisle? In
1946, I was out.
1940s, after the war.
Yes.
Okay.
I came back from St. Paul. I stayed there about 2 weeks, a week. Then they went to me to go out with those two old men, so I decided, might as well go with them even start trapping.
And the one was Bill Diakonoff, and the other was
John
Gordeev. Yeah. Okay. That was probably a good experience.
The old man Gordeev used to teach us how to play a croup, and that's where I learned to play a cribbage.
Well, I think I will stop this recorder. If I can figure out.
No, that's good.
Thank you very much. Let's see.
You're welcome.